Our scripture reading this morning is a selection from the book of Proverbs. It's available to you in the leaflet if you've got that out front, and it will also be on the screen. A reading from the book of Proverbs. The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. Do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. A violent person entices their neighbor and leads them down a path that is not good. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. In a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone comes forward and cross-examines. Desire without knowledge is not good. How much more will hasty feet miss the way? Listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you will be counted among the wise. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Plans are established by seeking advice, so if you wage war, obtain guidance. A person's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand their own way? A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. The wicked put up a bold front, but the upright give thought to their ways. There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. Whoever plots evil will be known as a schemer. The schemes of folly are sin, and people detest a mocker. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, happy Mother's Day. I am not preaching on Mother's Day, on Mother's. My small group a little while ago was saying I should preach on those passages about the dripping, nagging wife for Mother's Day, but I'll leave those passages. Aaron's going to preach on them in June, so. A number of years ago, I was up at Beacon Bible Camp, and I think this is before Becky and I were married, but Becky's brother David was on summer staff that year at camp. And while we were there, there was another young lady who was on summer staff who was mowing part of the grass, and the lawnmower ran over like a ground wasp nest. It was under the ground, and the vibrations of the lawnmower, you know, she got stung. A bunch of wasps came up and stung her. So she comes over, and she's crying, and she, you know, has been stung a bunch of times. And so David asks her, Becky's brother, where was it? And she's like, I don't know exactly where it was, but it was over in that corner of the field. And so I watched from a distance as he went over to that corner of the field and started jumping on the ground. And it was like watching a cartoon because a big cloud of wasps came and attacked him and he had to run away. So he found it. It worked. I'm not sure if he'd thought through the plan all the way, but he found the wasps. We've all had moments like that, though, haven't we? Where we think we know what we're doing and we realize, oh no, this was a bad idea. I remember several times as a kid and as a teenager when I got in trouble because of, I don't know, something dumb I did. And my parents frustratedly asked me, why did you do that? And my intention in that moment was to respond, I didn't think it was going to end up that way, but I only ever got as far as I didn't think before my parents forcefully interjected, that's the problem, you didn't think. You know, I still struggle with that. It's not a rare occurrence that we'll have some sort of family event on a Saturday that requires us to get everybody out of the door in the morning in good time. But after breakfast, I will sit down on the couch to read a book with the girls or maybe just get distracted by my phone. And my wife, Becky, will usually gently ask me, do you have a plan for getting us out of the house on time today? And the honest answer to that is usually, no, I haven't thought about it. And yes, I'll get up and help. But today, as we continue our sermon series through the Proverbs, we're going to look into what the Proverbs has to say about making plans. Right? The book of Proverbs, as we've seen over and over again, is all about how to live wisely in the world that God has made. And that is, when we say wise, to live wisely, we don't just mean to be smart. That's not what wisdom is about. But wisdom is about living virtuously. Remembering, first of all, that God is God and that we are not. And the rest of the world, we and the rest of the world are God's creations. We need to remember that the world isn't random, that it was created on purpose by our all-wise God. And so knowing him and walking in his ways will help us flourish in his world. And last week, we kind of began looking into the main body of the book, which is a collection of Proverbs. The first 9 chapters, you can kind of read through them, and there's a theme on each of the chapters, and you can kind of see how it fits together. But after that, it has a scattering of collections of Proverbs. There's no big idea or theme to the chapters. They're just collections. They're not organized by theme. So we've been sorting through them the past couple weeks, and we will be for a number of weeks, picking a topic and sort of finding what does these body of middle part of Proverbs say about each topic. And so today we're looking at the ones that you have in your bulletin, hopefully, about planning wisely. And so that's our big idea today. If you're taking notes or just trying to figure out what we're talking about, the big idea is that if we're going to live wisely, we must plan wisely, right? Living wisely doesn't happen by accident. We need to do it intentionally. If we're going to live wisely, we must plan wisely. And so there's sort of 3 levels to this, 3 truths about this that we're going to look at today from the book of Proverbs. And the first of those truths is this, that wise plans lead to good decisions. Wise plans lead to good decisions. When my parents told me that I wasn't thinking back as a teenager, what they really meant, what they really were saying is that if I had thought through my actions and made a good plan, I would not have done the dumb thing that I did and the results would have been better in my life. Proverbs 21 verse 5 says something very similar when it says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty." Now, the context of that particular Proverbs is talking specifically about financial and business planning. Businesses don't succeed without a well thought out plan, nor do personal finances. You know, it's been a pretty common occurrence that anytime someone has come and talked to Becky and I or to myself about, you know, needing advice or help because finances are tight, they don't really know how to live within their means, you know, I'll ask them about their finances and find that they've never, ever made a budget or tried to track their finances. You know, I'll ask them things like, how many times have you eaten out in the last month? And they don't know. And I don't say that to shame anyone at all. But that this principle is true, and that many of us struggle with the reality. If you don't have a wise plan, you won't make good decisions, and there will be negative consequences in your life. So Proverbs 14 verse 8 says it again, "The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception." So wisdom involves thinking and planning what you're going to do, right? That's true for finances and business. It's also true how to get your family out the door in good time on a Saturday morning. It's true for being healthy, right? Most of us don't fall backwards into good health, especially as we age. We have to make good decisions about what we're going to eat and how we're going to exercise, and those decisions won't happen unless we plan for them to happen. We also have to make good decisions about how to grow in spiritual health, right? If wisdom is ultimately about remembering God and living virtuously, if we're going to live godly lives according to his wisdom, we just can't wait for it to happen and say, man, I hope this happens one day. We have to plan to do the things that God has commanded us to do, right? We have to plan to spend time with God. When are you going to do it? Are you going to do it in the morning or in the evening or maybe on your lunch break? Will you have to get up before your kids to make sure that it happens in the morning? What are you going to plan to do for reading your Bible? Will you read through a book of the Bible? Will you follow a plan that somebody else has made and put on the internet or whatever, and you can follow through that Bible in a year or Bible in 3 years or whatever that is? Are you going to, you know, take notes as you read your Bible, or are you going to try and memorize some of the scripture as you go along? You got to make a plan, right? What about prayer. What are you going to do to make sure that you spend time talking to God? Do you have lists of things and people that you are praying for? Do you use our prayer bulletin? Do you even know that we have a prayer bulletin that you could get a hold of? Do you use scripture to help you in your prayer? What about who you spend your time with? Are you organizing your week around church and prioritizing being here on Sundays? Are you making a point to be involved with Christians throughout the week, being involved in Bible studies or small groups? Or do you prioritize other things that conflict with church and leave you disconnected from other Christians, the ones who want to help you to grow and love God more? Well, what about this? Are you serving at church? Using your time to build up Christ's body, the people of God, and to serve your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you allowing your brothers and sisters to speak into your life, to give you correction when you need it? Or what about your relationship with unbelievers, with non-Christians? Are you being led away from a love of God by people who don't love Him because of the time you spend with them? Or are you avoiding non-Christians altogether? Or are you intentionally building relationships with people so you can point them to Jesus? There's a lot in all of that we could think about. The point is, though, that none of that happens by accident. And if that list that I rattled off is overwhelming, and I totally understand that, maybe a wise step for a plan is to start with a couple of the things and make a plan to go from there. If you haven't done any of it, start with reading your Bible and praying and church attendance. Those three things, reading your Bible, praying, and church attendance. Well, how do you prioritize those in your life? None of this happens. None of these good decisions and good results in our life are going to happen without a plan. In order to live wisely, we have to plan wisely, and planning wisely leads to good decisions. But we need to return to one of the things that I kind of just mentioned briefly in that list, and that's letting other Christians speak into your life and give you correction. Because that particular one is going to bring us to our second truth about wise plans. So we've seen that wise plans lead to good decisions, but secondly, we're going to see that wise plans require good advice. You're not going to do it on your own. You need people to speak into your life. Wise plans require good advice. Right? Sometimes the problem isn't that we haven't made plans. Sometimes the problem is that the kinds of plans that we make are wrong. Now, there are lots of proverbs, as you read through them, that you're like, I think I kind of read something similar to that earlier on. They overlap in message a little bit, but it's actually rare to have two that say the exactly same thing. But we see that in Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:15. Who both say the exact same thing. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. A few years ago, we ripped up the gross carpet in our house and put down a new floor, and it was a lot of work. But when the floor was down, after that comes the really annoying part, which is putting the baseboards in. I hate baseboards. Especially, it's so much detail work to cut and paint and just get everything the right way, and nothing in my house is level. Like the floor goes in waves, the corners aren't square, and so it was a nightmare. But I made myself do it, or probably more accurately, Becky made me do it. And we got there, and I cut them, I painted them, rented a brad nailer from Home Depot and nailed them in, and none of it looked really very good, but I put furniture in front of it, and it got done. But there was one part that was in particular really a problem. Because my house is a semi-detached, and so between the two houses, instead of having drywall over a wooden frame, it's got drywall glued to concrete. And I found out, should have known this, but I found out you can't nail into concrete. It doesn't work. And the first couple of nails just kind of bent and came back out, and I thought, I'm going to keep going down this path. The third or fourth one, I forget which one, hit me in the cheek about an inch from my eye. I was not wearing goggles. And I was like, I think I need to find a different way to do this. this is not as good of an idea as I thought it was. So I glued it on. That's how I did. But sometimes you make a plan, and you do the work, and then you realize that was a dumb plan. I shouldn't do that. And maybe it's completely dumb, or maybe just you hadn't thought through the whole thing, and one part of it is a problem, right? Like that one stretch of wall in my larger plan. The point is, just because it seems like a good plan to you doesn't mean that it is a good plan. Sometimes we lack the wisdom to know better, as Proverbs 14:15 says. The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. Remember, simple, that's not an insult. That's what we all are naturally, according to Proverbs. We're not born wise. I have kids. Mother's Day, Happy Mother's Day, you know, your kids are not born wise, right? We have to acquire wisdom or be taught wisdom. And if we don't, we'll grow and become hardened in our foolishness. And one of the best ways to acquire wisdom is to give thought to our steps. One of the best ways to acquire wisdom and give thought to our steps is to listen to the advice of others. And Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, "The way of the fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." Proverbs 20, verse 18, "Plans are established by seeking advice. So if you wage war, obtain guidance." Whether you're coming up with a battle plan for war or trying to figure out how to attach a baseboard to a firewall, run that plan by somebody you trust. That's a major theme in the book of Proverbs, right? Proverbs 19:20, "Listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you will be counted among the wise." Or Proverbs chapter 9, verses 8 through 9, which Aaron preached from a couple weeks ago. "Rebuke the wise and they will love you." Sorry, "Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you," is how it starts. "Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. Instruct the wise and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous and they will learn even more." Right? Wisdom is not about knowing everything. It's about knowing that you don't know everything and being willing to listen to advice when it's appropriate, accept correction, and even rebuke when you're wrong. Now, this is even more important when we remember that our plans may not just be misguided, they might be sinful. Sometimes we make plans to do wrong. Proverbs 24, verses 8 through 9 says, "Whoever plots evil will be known as a schemer. The schemes of folly are sin, and people detest a mocker." Sometimes these kind of plans are obvious. A silly example, when I was a kid, I bought a toy with my own money, a little Jurassic Park dinosaur, and I had buyer's regret immediately. And so in the middle of the night, I broke the toy, thinking I'm going to go return it to the toy store the next day and get my money back. And not only did that not work, it was a dumb plan, but I was trying to cheat the store. I was trying to do something wicked. And this is not just something that kids do, right? Planning how to sin and get away with it is something that everybody does, whether that's wasting time at work, cheating on assignments for school, lying to the people in our lives so that we can get what we want. Sometimes our plans are sinful. And sometimes, though, it's not even that obvious. We think that our plans are good plans because we trick ourselves. We rationalize it. But really, our motives are wrong. Right? Proverbs 16, verse 2 says, "All a person's ways seem pure to them, but the motives are weighed by the Lord." Proverbs 21, verse 2 says, "A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart." Now, again, this is a struggle that we all have every day, whether we realize it or not. None of us are ever completely pure in our motives. And it shows up in really subtle ways. So in our marriage, and I don't say this in any way to be insulting to her, Becky is the more emotionally expressive one. I, to quote Hermione Granger, have the emotional range of a teaspoon. And so when we have conflict, I'm generally more calm and collected than she is. And now I'm very able to get defensive and upset and angry, but I often am able to just kind of say, no, I'm not going to do that, and decide to work at being calm during our conflicts. And for a long time in our marriage, in our earlier years, I tricked myself into thinking that I was doing this to be a kind and loving husband. Now, I don't want to oversell this. I do try to be a kind and loving husband too. But that motivation was always mixed with other bad motivations. I knew that it made me look good to be calm when she wasn't. And I came out of many of those conflicts feeling pretty good about myself. More recently, I've also learned that some of that calmness is motivated by a selfish desire to just make it go away, to keep calm in the house, rather than a desire to actually deal with whatever the issue is, and sometimes that there's sin that one of us has committed that we need to work through together as a couple and deal with it. Just because I'm able to not get upset doesn't mean that I'm being holy, right? My motivations are mixed. And so when we make plans on how to deal with conflict, how to raise our kids, how to operate in a business, how to use our time, who we spend time with, what we pursue, we may think that we have a good, wise, moral plan in place, but God sees our hearts and weighs our motives. And our motives are often mixed at best. So we need good advice. Not just any advice, because just like there are sinful plans, there can be wicked advice, right? Proverbs 16:29 says, a violent person entices their neighbor and leads them down a path that is not good, right? They're trying to get you to do the wrong thing. Now, there's also just bad advice. It's not wicked, it's just incomplete, maybe. Proverbs 18, verse 17 says, in a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone comes forward to cross-examine them. Right? That verse is specifically talking about witnesses in a court case, but the principle is that we hear one side of the story or one person's advice, the one perspective of an advisor, it can sound really good until someone comes up and says, well, have you thought about this? We can jump to conclusions and not get it right. So instead, we should seek advice from trustworthy people and probably multiple people. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Right? Having more people speak into this helps us to make wise decisions. So we need to make plans. If we want to be wise, we have to remember that wise plans lead to good decisions. Wise plans require good advice. But anyone with any life experience will know that even with lots of good advice, plans don't always succeed. Sometimes even wise plans fail, and that leads us to the third and final truth about wise plans, which is this. Wise plans are subject to God's sovereignty. Sometimes God says, no, that's not happening, even to a good plan. Wise plans are subject to God's sovereignty. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans of a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Right? At the end of the day, all the wisdom in the world, all of the good, careful planning, all of the wise advice and testing of your motives will not guarantee that your plans succeed. Even really wise, godly, pure, selfless, good plans sometimes fail because God says no, and there can be hard results in our lives as a result. You know, even before my parents met, both of them wanted to be missionaries. My dad, before he met my mom, broke off a long relationship with his girlfriend because she didn't have that desire to be a missionary. My mom had planned to go to be a single missionary, I think because she had read a lot of missionary biographies, and a lot of the wives in the missionary biographies die, so she's like, I'm just going to do this single. But they met, they saw a common desire to serve God in this way. They got married, they had an adorable son, and then later some other kids. And they went to Kenya together. It was their plan to live there for the rest of their lives, to raise their family there, to tell people about Jesus, and they lasted a year before they both got sick and had to come home. They made a really good plan, a selfless plan of giving of themselves for the Lord. And God said no. How do you make sense of that? How do we make sense of it when we plan to raise our kids to love the Lord and we do everything we can, but something goes wrong and our kids reject Jesus? What do we do when we plan to live a normal life, working hard to honor God with our families here in Canada, and cancer upsets everything? What do we do? The starting place for this is the same as the starting place for the rest of wisdom. Do you remember where wisdom starts? Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Right, the fear of the Lord, that's our answer. It doesn't mean that God is unpredictably mean, so we should be scared of how he's going to ruin our lives. No, on the contrary, God is good. We're going to talk more about that in a moment, but the fear of the Lord means remembering that God is God and we are not. You know, people turn away from their faith because they don't like the way God does things, but bad things happen either way. You are not in charge. Doesn't matter how hard you work and how hard you plan, things are going to happen that you don't like. We remember that there is a God who loves you, who is in control, and he is in charge, and even when we don't understand, he's got a good plan. That makes all the difference. He doesn't answer to us. He created the world, it's his, and the world's not random. He made it that way, he did it on purpose, and he is sovereign over everything that happens. Even though there are legitimately bad things that happen as a result of human sin, things that we are responsible for, somehow in some mysterious way, God is sovereign over all of it. He is in absolute control of everything that happens, and it's according to his sovereign decree. Now, if you struggle to believe that, and I totally understand if you do, look what Proverbs 16:33 says. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. See what that's saying? Cast lots, draw straws, roll the dice, choose randomly. That random choice came from God's decision. Everything comes from his hand. Even in some deeply mysterious way, the evil that his creatures freely choose to do, it's part of God's sovereign decree. Way back in history, and back in 1689, a group of Baptists in London wrote a confession of faith, and they included an article on God's decree, which says it this way: God has decreed in himself from all eternity, by the most wise and holy counsel of his own will, freely and unchangeably, all things. Whatsoever comes to pass, God decreed it all. Yet, so as a result, they said, God is neither the author of sin, nor has fellowship with sin. He does not do violence to the will of the creature. Now, here's what that's saying. It says God's in control over sin and an evil. He even decrees that according to his will. He says no to good plans, but he's not the author of sin. We're responsible. We have a free will somehow within God's sovereignty that God doesn't do violence to, even though he's sovereign over it all. That's hard to wrap your mind around, but the Bible teaches these true things. You are responsible for your actions, and God's sovereign over everything. Now, who cares if some old Baptist said that, right? Does the Bible say that? Well, what about Acts chapter 4? The book of Acts, the early church, after Jesus has died and risen again and ascended into heaven, the first Christians are trying to spread the message of Jesus. They're being persecuted for it. And they pray a prayer in chapter 4. And they say this in Acts 4:24. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, just like we've been talking about, right? You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David. And he quotes from Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. So he says, the leaders that are persecuting us, they've always been doing this in history. David wrote about that a long time ago. And then they say this in verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, right? Our persecution is just following up on what happened to Jesus. But then in verse 28, he says, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. They compared their suffering, the evil of the religious leaders who had persecuting them, with the suffering of Jesus on the cross, right? Which, as a reminder, is the most evil thing that has ever happened in history. It's you know, we talk about why do the good people suffer? Why do innocent people suffer? Well, really, the only time an innocent person has suffered is when Jesus died on the cross. He had regular suffering through his life as well. Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Romans, the Jewish people of Jerusalem, including Judas, who's supposed to be his friend, conspired against him to kill him unjustly. You know, they are culpable for murdering the Son of God. Peter says something very similar to that in chapter 2 of Acts. But in verse 28, we're told they did what God's power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Right? Here's what we have to wrestle with. That every human plan, good or evil, only succeeds because of God's will. He doesn't even just say, yes, I'll allow that one. Yes, no, I won't allow that one. It's what he decided ahead of time should happen that we are acting out. That's the overwhelming message of the Bible, and the Proverbs speaks about it over and over again. Proverbs 16:1, to humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. Proverbs 16, verse 9, in their hearts humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Proverbs 21:30-31, there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. So here's what this is telling us. Fear the Lord. He's God, and we're not. He's sovereign over everything, but we don't need to be afraid of him, because when he ordains evil, when he says this is going to happen, even though it's not what I like, not what I want, this is going to happen in the world, he does that for our good. Even the worst things that have happened have a purpose in his plan. That's not a wishy-washy greeting card thought that doesn't actually help anyone. No offense to greeting card people. That truth is grounded in the most important truth of human history. Right? The worst thing that ever happened was the crucifixion of Jesus, God's son. And God, who became a human and lived a perfectly loving and good life, was tortured to death. And that was God's plan. It was his plan to show us his love. It was his plan to save us from our sin and rebellion. Jesus died for us and took our place. He paid for our sins so that we could be forgiven and made new by God as his children. Jesus died and then rose again in victory. He broke the power of sin and death. He did this for us as part of God's plan. And there are big things that go wrong. There are little things that go wrong. My wife wanted to be here for Mother's Day, but last night MJ was up throwing up all night. I was sick all night too. I had to come and preach, but I'm here. So keep your distance from me today. But it stinks that Becky can't be here for Mother's Day, right? All of those things, all the hard stuff, all the bad stuff, the big and the little, God's got a purpose in it for our good. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul speaks about the reality of suffering in the world, and he concludes that we can trust God even when unspeakable evil happens, right? Romans 8, verse 28, it's a pretty famous verse. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose, right? The context of the in all things is the suffering, right? Suffering is real, and God's using that in the lives of his people for their good. He goes on a couple of verses later in verse 32 to say, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? So here's how you can know that when bad things are happening, that God hasn't lost control. He hasn't given up on us. He hasn't stopped loving us. When our plans fall through, when we suffer, when bad things happen, we can have confidence in that. Why? Because he's already given us his son to save us from our sins. There's nothing greater than that. God hasn't said, well, I loved you enough to send Jesus to die in your place, but I don't love you enough to give you whatever this thing is that you want to stop this bad thing from happening to you. No, he says, I know you want it. I know that in a lot of ways it would be good for you, but I have a better plan, and that you're not going to understand that plan. You're not going to understand the suffering that's part of that plan. I love you too much, though, to give you what you want right now, so will you trust me? So the question that I think that faces all of us, and that is, do you believe that's true? Do you trust that God loves you that much? And some of us who have been Christians for a long time are facing that in a hard way right now. Am I going to hold on to that truth? Some of us that are here have not made that decision yet. I don't know that I trust God like that. And my challenge to you from these passages is, listen, hard things are going to come in your life. And either nobody's in control of it, or somebody who loves you is in control of it. And the Bible is pointing us to the God who loves you. He's saying, this isn't random. You're not going to understand it, but I've got you. Will you trust me? I would challenge you, if you're there, to please, today, put your trust in the God who loves you, who sent his son to die for your sins and rise again. And hold on to him when the hard things come. And hold on to him when the good things come. You can be forgiven for your sins and know that you're secure with him for the rest of your life and for all of eternity. But we have to trust the God who created the world, who ordains everything that happens, the God that no human plan can thwart. Trust that he loves you, that he's wise. And when it's hard, when our plans fail, when we suffer, we just need to hang on to him, even if it's just by our fingernails. Right? It's not the strength of our faith. The strength of the one we put our faith in. That's the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. For some of us, the idea that God is completely sovereign over all things, ordaining everything, that might tempt us into a kind of fatalism where we just sort of sit back and say, well, I'm not going to stop trying because if God's already decided what's going to happen, why does it matter what I do? But that's not the right response, right? Christians have understood for a long time that these two things that don't seem to fit together are both true. God's sovereign and we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to plan and to live wisely. And so we need to acknowledge, along with Proverbs 20:24, a person's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand their own way? You know, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how God's going to lead us, right? Proverbs 27, verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. But even though that's true, we are not paralyzed. We remember that God is good, and so it motivates us to push forward and trust in him and do the things that he's commanded us to do. Proverbs 16, verse 3 is the last one that we're going to look at today. It says it really well. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. I heard in a Tim Keller sermon a long time ago, he pointed out this to me, that do you notice that that's backwards from kind of what we'd expect it to say? We would almost expect it to say, commit your plans to the Lord. That is, make your plans and say, God, are these good plans? I submit them to you, and he will establish your actions. But he actually says the opposite. Submit your actions, commit to the Lord whatever you do. So while you make your plans, we say, God, whatever you do with these plans, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I commit my actions to you. Whatever I'm going to do, it's for you. I want these plans to work out, but if they don't, just know that I'm going to follow you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk the path that you give me. And if those plans fall completely through, we go where he leads us. If you plan that way, it will change how you plan. It'll change what your plans look like. Your plan will be made with an open hand. You're going to give them to God to change as he wishes. And if you plan that way, your plan will be open to his will. Your plan will involve rejoicing when God proves again that he is God and you are not. Oh God, I could not have predicted that. That's not what I wanted. I'm frustrated. I'm having a hard time with it. But I know that you are God, and I rejoice in that. God will establish plans like that. Lord, help me to be welling. I purpose right now that if this plan that I have doesn't work out, that I plan to follow you and rejoice. God's going to establish that plan. Even if the details still don't go the way you hoped, your hope will be in God. That's wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, and that's the kind of wisdom that only comes from him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need your help, as always. Some of us in this room are planners, and some of us are not. Some of us really struggle to take charge of our lives and decide to do things and make plans that are good. And some of us struggle to get advice from others, to listen to correction when we need it. We think that we know, and we need to be reminded that we are not always wise. We are simple. We are foolish. We need to be corrected. And all of us hate to have our plans fall through. We need your help, Lord, to let go of our plans when you've decided that they're not going to follow the way that we thought they would. To know that you're God and we're not, to rejoice that you're in control, that though we think that we know well enough, that you are the one who knows all things, and you love us, and you've proved that, and we can hold on to that truth even when we don't understand what's going on. So Lord, please help us with these things, we pray. Help us to be wise and plan wisely. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As our benediction today, I want to read to you a short passage from Isaiah 46, a passage written to Israel when they were suffering. They're told they're going to be taken into captivity for their sins. God's kind of laying out some of the plan for them. And listen to what he says. He says, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. And jumping down a little bit, he says, what I have said, I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, you who are now far away from righteousness. I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away. And my salvation will not be delayed. I will grant salvation to Zion and my splendor to Israel, and we can add ourselves to that, the church. As you're making your plans, as your plans are falling through, remember the God who is alone God, who will accomplish what he has set out to do, and that is to make you holy and righteous and save you. May God bless you in that knowledge.